This is the day that the Lord has made. Sunday of Easter, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. We'll follow our service received on the way in, beginning on page 3 with confession and absolution, followed by the sharing of peace and the procession of men. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for confession. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us rise and greet one another in peace of the Lord.
calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down in my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
This time the big people can be seated. We invite the youngsters of the congregation and the visitors to come forward to the children.
Someone who hurt sheep. Is that what you were going to say? And we're going to talk about what shepherds do here in just a moment, too. So, why would a sheep trust their shepherd, do you think? Why would a sheep trust their shepherd? You want to give us one? Okay, they don't have anyone better to trust. But what things does the shepherd do? Okay, so you got two things. One, he guides the sheep. And you also said that he protects the sheep. And there's one other one that's also really good to you, right? Do you ever get hungry? I haven't had breakfast this morning. My stomach's gurgling right now. The shepherd also feeds. So he feeds his sheep, he guides his sheep, and he also defends them from all evil. Well, if Jesus is the good shepherd, that means he does these three things as well. How does Jesus feed you? You know? How does Jesus feed you? Ready? Point to your mouth. He tells you through his word. And that word, we eat. Does that sound funny? To eat words? But that's what Jesus does. He gives you his word so that you can be filled with good heavenly food. And he feeds you. And he also guides you. How does he guide you? Yeah, how does he guide you? Oh, so you're saying just like the Israelites, they have someone to follow, right? Well, how? A light unto my path. Yeah. Yes, a lamp to my feet. Yeah, and he gives us that light and that lamp through his holy word, which we understand by his Holy Spirit. He gave his disciples the Holy Spirit so that he could guide them. And where did Jesus give you his Holy Spirit to you? Yeah. In baptism, right there. Yes, good job. Well, today in one of our readings, we heard about St. Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit allowed Peter to speak for Jesus to other people, so that other people could hear God's word and believe. And that's what he also does for you. So when you eat the words of Jesus, you think about them, and then you can tell them to other people, but it also helps guide you. And then the third one is Jesus protects, just like a good shepherd would. How does Jesus protect you? Yes. He protects us from all evil things. And these are the three things that Jesus does for you. He gives you his holy word so that you can be fed. He guides you through the word and the Holy Spirit. And then he also protects you from all evil things. Now, do you think there are some people in this world that will want you to do evil things, trick you into doing evil things? Yes, there are. There are some people that will want you to do some evil things. But remember, Jesus gives you his word, and he guides you with his Holy Spirit so that you may be seen clean in God's eyes. Okay? So he is your good shepherd. Let us pray together. Repeat after me. Our Heavenly Father, you gave St. Peter the Holy Spirit.
You gave St. Peter the Holy Spirit.
To tell others about your Son Jesus.
Your Son Jesus.
Give us your Holy Spirit also.
Give us your Holy Spirit also.
And guide us as the good shepherd. To live a holy life with you. So today I have some coloring sheets for you. And look, it's Jesus as the good shepherd. And at the bottom it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man be plucked them out of my hand. So I will give you a piece of paper, and go ahead and give everyone some prayers. Is that okay? Great. Here you go.
We continue with the sermon hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, on page 10.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You're on a business trip and you're driving down the road with a coworker when you hit a bone-jarring pothole. And the coworker looks over at you and says, "Ooh, ouch." And you say, "Phew, it's all right. It's a rental." Seems that human nature is to care for something better when it's your own rather than belonging to someone else. We have some rather ugly expressions that reflect this idea. We say, "That team got beat like a rented mule." Or more horribly, "Beaten like a red-headed stepchild." If it's not your own, then you thought you're not going to care about it as much. And it seems that this is nothing new. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is unbelievably good news. Jesus, the good shepherd, does not treat you like a rented mule, like somebody else's sheep. He cares for you as one of his own sheep. Jesus loves you as his own. You belong to Jesus. You are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. So who is the wolf? It's the devil, of course. And the devil's always prowling, looking for another sheep to drag away and devour. And you're one of those sheep. And you're out in the field doing what sheep do, and you hear a noise in the grass, and you look up and you see the gray fur moving through the meadow. And you stare, and you see the wolf raise up his head and look directly at you. And you can see the hunger in his eyes. You can see his sharp teeth as he growls. You are in great danger. The wolf is coming to destroy you. The wolf is coming to tear you apart and consume you and leave nothing except a lifeless pile of bones. You panic. You don't know what to do. And the wolf senses your panic, confusion, and he pounces towards you, bounding over the grass in gigantic strides. And you freeze in fear and await certain death. The wolf is going to get you. But just as the wolf takes his final leap to snatch you, the shepherd steps in between you and the wolf. The shepherd blocks the wolf with his staff, and the wolf turns his attack onto the shepherd. The wolf's long, sharp teeth tear at the shepherd's flesh and bring forth blood and agony as the shepherd offers himself to the wolf in order to protect you. The shepherd continues to give himself to the wolf until the shepherd lies dead in the grass. In all this you watch, trembling with great fear. And now the shepherd is dead. The shepherd gave his life to protect you, but for what purpose? You are left all alone to face the wolf. And the wolf circles the dead shepherd for a few moments, and then he moves towards you, licking his lips, already tasting your flesh. And then incredibly, the shepherd is back. standing between you and the wolf. He has come back from the dead, and the wolf, seeing the resurrected shepherd, flees with his tail between his legs. Jesus is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see Jesus' love for you as he is willing to die to save you. Willingly, he lays down his life to redeem you. He lays down his life out of love for you. John talks about this love in the epistle reading today. He says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us." And then John teaches what it means to be one of the good shepherd's sheep. Since we know his love, in the same way, we are to love one another. John says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Jesus cares for us as the good shepherd, not as a hired hand. We are to care for each other, not as hired hands, but out of great love for one another. We cannot treat each other like rented mules. We are certainly called to love our own. We're called to love and look after our families. We're called to care for our loved ones. Question is, who are your loved ones? In marriage, men promise to love their wives the way Christ loves the church. That's a heavy responsibility. If a man is out walking with his wife and a big angry dog approaches, the man's duty is to step between his wife and the dog and, if necessary, get bitten to protect his wife. As we mark the remembrance of the sinking of the Titanic this month on April the 15th, 1912, it's good to note the many men who gave up their place in the lifeboat in order to save the women and children. So who are your loved ones? As a follower of the Good Shepherd, as one for whom the Good Shepherd has laid down his life, you are called to love not only your family, but you are called to love one another. You cannot treat others as if they do not belong to you. You are united as sheep in the Good Shepherd's flock. These others belong to you, and you belong to them. You are called to lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. And while we pray it will not come down to actually having to die for one another, you are called to selflessly love one another, to give up your own desires in service to others. There's a great teaching about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is often read at weddings, but this scripture is not particularly about married love. It's about how you are to love one another as fellow sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love supports without limits, trusts without limits, hopes without limits, never gives up. This is the love you are to have for each other because you have already been saved by the Good Shepherd. This is the kind of love you have for each other because you are already a part of the Good Shepherd's flock. The Good Shepherd is the one who has washed you clean and poured onto you his very name. The good shepherd is the one who feeds you with his very body and blood. The same body and blood that he offered to the wolf in your place. The good shepherd loves you because you are his own. And with the good shepherd, you are safe from the wolf. You're safe from the devil. The devil has no power to snatch you away or to scatter the flock. But the wolf does not give up easily. He will do all he can to stir up dissension among the sheep. He'll do all that he can to get the sheep to bite and harass each other. He will try to get you to treat others as if they don't belong to you. He'll tempt you to act like there is no shepherd. He'll entice sheep to run away from the good shepherd. He will accuse the sheep, telling you that since you are not able to perfectly love one another, that you must not really be the good shepherd's sheep. As you deal with others, the devil will try to get you to treat others like rented mules, instead of treasuring them as fellow sheep in the good shepherd's flock. The wolf will try all this. But the wolf has no standing. The wolf is powerless against the good shepherd. The wolf has been undone through the power of the cross of Christ. So do not give the wolf any leeway. Do not try to fight the wolf on your own as if you could go toe to toe with the Prince of Darkness. Do not engage with the wolf. You'll just end up a tasty snack for the evil one. Rather, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when the devil comes prowling, when the devil comes stirring trouble, when the devil comes accusing, simply point him to Jesus. Point him to the good shepherd and say, I belong to him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
In our prayers this morning, we include Rebecca Zartner, who had a major stroke this past week and brain bleeding, and also Penny and Michelle Ray, whose house was damaged by a severe storm. Let us pray. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Shepherd of Israel, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sought out your shepherd and gathered us into your flock. Keep us always in your fold and guard us from every wolf and snare. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you alone gather us as your sheep and send faithful shepherds to us. Call all who have wandered from your flock and bless the faithful shepherds who gather them through the voice of your word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, your Son has called us to love our brothers. Turn us in love towards the neighbors closest to us, especially within our own homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ first did for us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Eternal Lord, through the Paschal Lamb we have brought peace between man and God. By your gift of good government, grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet and godly lives in contentment. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, by the first fruits of Christ's life from the dead, you secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences. Bless also with temporal health and well-being those who suffer among us, especially Brenda, Greg, Joshua, Beverly, the family of Dolores Klein, Bethany, the Winstead family, Elias, Harold, Susan and Mike, Carol, Debbie, Gwen, Roxanne, Brian, Sherry, Grace, Don, Parker, Bob, Sandy, Sally, Danielle, Kelly, Rob, Earl, Jenny, Amanda, Ella, Rebecca, and Penny and Michelle. Grant them indeed in this moment, and even more so, true immortal health in the world to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, our shepherd, you calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death, and you prepare the holy table of your Son's testament for us in the presence of our enemies. Grant us repentant and faithful hearts in every tribulation or besetting sin. Lead us to find comfort and strength in your overflowing mercy given to us here in this sacrament. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners, and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, trust him, seek help and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
commentary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially, we bow to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb that was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, gathered in the name of the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship of the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor.